Bokhari, newsflash to Google-diversity departments attract racists. By Alam Bokhari on June 4, 2021. Google might be the most race-obsessed company in America. And that's saying a lot given that America is the most race-obsessed country in the world. Yet I suspect its leadership is clueless enough to be surprised that open encouragement of race obsession, or diversity and equity obsession, as they would insist on calling it, attracts racist employees. Kamau Bob, one of the tech giant's top executives on issues of diversity, brings the issue into focus. Bob was removed from his top-level diversity position at Google today. Although they didn't fire him, after the Washington Free Beacon unearthed a 2007 blog post on his personal website that claimed Jews have an insatiable appetite for war and killing. It is still unclear if Georgia Tech, his other employer, is taking any disciplinary action. The college has not responded to Breitbart News' request for comment. Most sane onlookers will see the fact that Bob's racist statements were overlooked for so long as symptomatic of a company that is entirely given over to the same vicious, far-left racism that has spread like a virus throughout the rest of American society. The fact that Bob is still employed at the company is particularly damning. James Damore was infamously fired from Google because he responded to a diversity training course's solicitation for feedback with a memo arguing that the company lacked political viewpoint diversity, and that gender-based hiring quotas may be ill-advised. That Damore was fired, while Bob remains, tells you everything you need to know. Google is a company where outright bigotry and hatred against some groups is brushed off, whereas the slightest hint of offending others results in termination. We know about Google's race obsession because its own employees have told us about it. Senior leaders focus on diversity first and technology second, an employee of the company told Breitbart News in 2017. A shocking claim about a company that once prided itself on being at the cutting edge of technological innovation. The same could now be said about almost any woke company, of course, or, indeed, any major institution in America, corporate or non-corporate. The political culture that elevated Bob to senior status at Google is the same as the one that teaches elementary school kids that their skin color makes them privileged, that had Coca-Cola telling its employees to be less white, and saw the city of Seattle teach its employees about undoing their whiteness in a racially segregated training session. Of course, the left brands such things as anti-racism, which is of course the opposite of racism. No one watching is fooled, just like eugenics and social Darwinism before it. Critical race theory simply provides the rationalization for a dark, persistent instinct that exists in the human psyche. The instinct to mete out cruelty and discrimination towards outgroups. Even if Kamau Bob's blog post about Jews hadn't been unearthed, his job, enforcing and encouraging diversity quotas, would still be racist. Even in today's woke culture, the American public, including blacks and Hispanics, overwhelmingly opposes race-based quotas, rightly considering them to be racist. Politicians, the media, academia, and corporate America simply ignore public opinion, convinced that their racist path is the righteous one. The new racist order they seek to establish is much like previous ones. Some groups, like blacks, Muslims, and the Latinx are favored, while others are disfavored. Whites, of course, are at the bottom of the totem pole. But, as we see from Bob's statements, it seems Jews are somewhere near the bottom too. It's unclear where Asians are in the new racial hierarchy. On the one hand, the left has, after some hesitancy, said we must stop Asian hate. On the other hand, they carefully omit the ethnicity of the perpetrators behind many violent attacks on Asians. The truth is, in the racist worldview of the left, both Asians and Jews are a problem, because they don't fit neatly into the narrative of white oppression. Every time a minority succeeds, it makes the question of why others don't succeed that much harder for the left to answer. For the left, the success of Jews in America despite centuries of pogroms, genocide, and forced expulsions is a problem. The success of Japanese in America despite 19th-century American gunboat diplomacy, defeat in World War II, and internment camps is a problem. The success of the Iranians and Vietnamese who arrived in America with nothing after oppressive regimes took over their home countries is a problem. All of these success stories are a problem, because they suggest that cases of historical oppression and hardship, even white supremacy and colonialism, are not as pivotal and destiny-defining as the left makes them out to be. Perhaps they aren't pivotal at all. Perhaps choices, tradition, and culture have as much to do with a people's success as any external factor. The left cannot stand this line of reasoning, and they've even created one of their signature buzzwords to describe it, the model minority argument. According to the left, the model minority argument claims that the success of Asian Americans, Jews, and other groups who faced historical misfortune means that the relative lack of success on the part of other groups can't simply be blamed on a legacy of white supremacy, and that on some level, people, not invisible forces of oppression, are responsible for their own outcomes. Yes. That is what the argument does. And? It's easy to see why someone in the diversity industry like Kamau Bob would be especially resentful against successful minorities. Successful minorities, after all, undermine the entire case for the diversity industry of which Bob was a part. While the media and the establishment have spent decades building up a tolerance for anti-white racism, in both diversity quotas and their own headlines, they have not done so for anti-Asian or anti-Jewish racism. So, when Asian Americans show up to campaign against affirmative action, the racist left and their establishment allies simply don't know how to respond. Ignore it? Sure. But they can't ignore it forever. Google in particular can't ignore it. The company has already faced lawsuits alleging it stopped hiring whites and Asian males to increase the representation of other groups. With Jews, the issue is Israel. The left wants to turn Israel into a new South Africa, meaning they want to take a previously stable country with some flaws and turn it into a corrupt, violent, crime-ridden nightmare where the formerly oppressed group rules over, brutalizes, and murders the former oppressor. However, as with Asian Americans and affirmative action, using the South Africa playbook on Israel isn't so easy. In South Africa, the ruling class was Anglo-Africans and Dutch Africans, and there's little sympathy for Europeans and Anglos in the European and Anglo media. The same is not true of Jews, a historically oppressed group. We can see Bob trying to reconcile these concerns in his 2007 screed, on the one hand writing about the oppression of the Palestinians, and on the other writing about the oppression of Kristallnacht. His underlying disdain against modern Jews, who aren't oppressed enough for his liking, shines through nonetheless. To Google and Georgia Tech, the revelation of Bob's racism no doubt came as a surprise. But it shouldn't be. The whole diversity apparatus that produced him, the apparatus that Google and other corporations support with billions of dollars, is racist from root to branch. It will produce more people like Bob, causing further embarrassment to the company. And, who knows? It might soon become unacceptable to hate whites too. Imagine the number of people they'd have to fire then. Alim Bokhari is the senior technology correspondent at Breitbart News. He is the author of #DeleteIt, Big Tech's Battle to Erase the Trump Movement and Steal the Election.